Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chaf in Becharos. Okay, we started the third parak of Becharos. Let's start again the Mishnah of the third parak. We'll get right into a new sugya. So the scenario is very simple. It's a scenario where you don't have a lot of information. You know you bought an animal from a non-Jew, but you don't know the history of the animal. So how do you proceed forward? Because here's the story. If this animal didn't have a baby yet, and this is going to be now the first baby it's going to have, so the consequently it's going to be this animal is going to be a bechor. And if already had a baby, so then what comes out is not a bechor, and it makes a world of difference. Meaning, first of all, do I give this animal to a kohen or do I not? And then the obvious question is, if it has kedushas bechor, so then I have to treat it like a carbon, as opposed to where it doesn't have kedushas bechor. So the obvious issue is you need to know, and you don't know. So how do you proceed from this point forward? So Rabbi Yishmael Omer. So Rabbi Yishmael says, so here's how we're going to work it. Going to be three opinions. Okay, possibly a fourth. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Eiz Bashnata V'Adal Kohen Mikan Ve'Elach Safek. For that first year, the goat that's 1 year old, that first animal for sure is going to go to a Kohen. From that point forward, it's a Safek. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, simply will not have a goat giving birth within its first year. Rachel Bashtayim V'Adal Kohen Mikan Ve'Elach Safek. So, if you bought a sheep within its first 2 years. So that, you know, for sure, its firstborn is going to go to the Kohen. After that, you really don't know. Parve chamor beno shalosh. And as far as the donkey is concerned, and as the cow is concerned, the number is going to be 3 years. V'adal ha-Kohen mikan ve'elach safek. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, so this is, and when we say safek, by the way, what do we mean by that? So Rashi points out, Yerav Yochel b'mum l'balim. It means that you don't give it to the Kohen because amotz mechaveh ola v'raya, because the Kohen needs definitive proof before he can take something out of your hand. It's not his money, it's your money, it's your property. And he doesn't know for sure that this animal is a bechor. So consequently, what's going to the result's going to be is amotz mechaveh ola v'raya. He comes at you and he says, give me the bechor. And you simply say to him, you don't know it's yours, you got to prove it. In addition to that also, it may be a bechor. So the owner himself can't just simply now eat the animal or enjoy the animal. The owner has to wait till it develops a blemish, and then and only then can the owner eat it. He's Yochel b'mumo. Good. So that is opinion number one. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Number two, in the Mishnah. Amalo Rabbi Kiva, ilu b'vla b'vada b'hema nifteres kidvarech. Look, if you need a birth of an animal, a viable fetus, in order to potter, in order to exempt the next animal, so then, good, I'm with you. But that's not what you need. However, all you need in order for an animal to have given birth is not a viable fetus, but just simply tinuf. For a small animal, some discharge, some sort of stain. And the concern would be is that within that first year, this animal, although chances are, Rabbi Kiva seems to agree with Rabbi Shmuel with the basic premise, that a goat's not going to have an animal within its first year. But it may be metanef, right? It may have some sort of subtle discharge. Over gasa shilya. Now, when it comes to a larger animal, so you need to see more evidence. You need to see a shilya, some sort of afterbirth. Of isha shpir v'shilya, and from a woman, you need to see the form of a fetus, and also you need to see an afterbirth as well. Zakla. No, in other words, Rabbi Kiva, you need a siman, and so Rabbi Kiva would say to Rabbi Shmuel, no, I don't hold by any age, right. And so therefore, okay. So
we know the age or we don't know the age.
Yeah, so the scenario has to be where you know the age.
Yeah.
Meaning if you don't know the age, that's another layer of suffix,
right,
to attach to that. This whole discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is where you know the age. You just don't know any more history than that.
Yeah, no.
And then Rabbi Kiva says, okay, here's your rule. If you know that it gave birth, so the Kohen gets nothing. If you know that it did not give birth, so then the Kohen gets it. And if we're anywhere in the middle, between knowing and not knowing, it's called the suffix. So if you're anywhere in the middle, so then it's eaten by its owner. Okay. After the mum. So mikam ve'elach hamay safek halacha acharov behemos, v'rov behemos mitzabros, v'yoldo b'sochna asanenu. So the Gemara starts off with the following question. From this point forward, mikan ve'eilech. Why are we holding that it's a suffix? Let's follow what would seem to be a rov. What's the rov over here? Rov behemoth misabros v'yeldo b'soch shnasaninu. Because most animals do in fact have a baby. V'havadai meled olid. And so now, if we're holding by a rov, and the rov is that rov animals do in fact give birth, so can't the rov determine our discussion and our doubt? So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Meir Svirle Dechai Shlomi Yuta. So it could be that what we're going to do is we're going to line up Rabbi Yishmael together with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir popularly maintains throughout all of Shas that he's Choshesh Shlomi Yuta, that he's worried about a minority. Okay, we'll give examples of that later on this morning. Okay, so if that's true, so the Gemara says, let's line up Rabbi Yishmael together with Rabbi Meir. So, and if that's true, so then we understand that Rabbi Yishmael is Choshesh Shlomi Yuta. Okay, and even though the majority, the probability is this animal did in fact have a baby, but there's a chance, small as it may be, that it did not have a baby, and therefore this animal that's born is this, in fact it's bechora. Filutem rabbanan, ki az labas ruba beruba disa kaman gagon. So the Gemara now is going to try to distinguish between different types of rov. Classic discussion, basic discussion that we've seen a couple of times already in Shas. We get to see it again, and that is, first the Gemara is going to try to make a distinction between Ruba de lesa kaman versus ruba de isa kaman. Ruba de isa kaman means where it's not based on a statistical analysis, but it's all the information is presented right in front of us. We have all the facts right in front of us. For example, kigon teisha chanios v'sanhedrin. The Gemara simply refers to two cases. Number one, the case of teisha chanios, which we've seen time and again. You have a row of stores. Nine of them are selling kosher, and one of them is selling non-kosher. Okay, you ever go down Main Street in Kewarn Hills? So nine of them are selling kosher, one of them is selling non-kosher. So, and a piece of meat now is found in the middle of the street. And you don't know which store it comes from, called the parish. Meruba ka parish, so we have a rule that anytime it's parish from the roof. Good. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two, Sanhedrin, where you count it up. All those who feel that he's innocent, raise your hand. All those who feel that he's guilty, raise your hand. And every member of Sanhedrin now is going to have a vote. If it's a capital case, we're talking about a Beis Din of 23. Rashi gives that example. And so you count up the numbers. Those are the kinds of majorities where we're going to follow the majority, the simple majority. However, but the Gemara makes a suggestion that if it's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, meaning it's not a majority based on information presented in front of us, but it's based on statistical analysis. Probabilities. And the Gemara says, maybe there, that would be different. Like this case. Right? Is the animal going to, did this animal give birth? Well, let's look at the majority of animals. So now you're basically looking at statistics. You're looking at probabilities. And that's a ruba de lesa kaman. The Gemara now is making a suggestion that that's different. The Gemara says, but it's not. It's funny, every time this Gemara has this type of discussion, the Gemara tries to separate ruba de isa kaman versus ruba de lesa kaman. And the Gemara always ends up saying they're not different. And the Gemara says, and I know they're not different. The Gemara says, look, I'll give you a scenario where it's statistics, it's probabilities, and we still follow Rov. Did not. Simple example, we're going to go to Yavamos. We're going to go to Yavamos a couple times this morning. Let's say the participants of the mitzvah of Yibum are a male and a female minor, both of them. Both of them are a minor. So, they shouldn't do chalifs and they shouldn't do yibum. They can't. How are we going to say it? They don't. They don't do chalifs and they don't do yibum. We've seen this already a number of times. So, divrei Rabbi Meir. Amar lo yafa amar techotzin. Ish kasa beparsha makshin. Isha leish matam. I'm sorry. Isha leish. So, as far as chalifs is concerned, I get that. I understand that. Right, that makes perfect sense because it's a hekesh between a woman and a man. Matam ein miyabim. I'm sorry. So the Torah says by chalitza it has to be done by a man. Good. But matam ein miyabim. But what I don't understand is what's wrong with yibum. I understand the minors, but leaving the societal issues aside. But in other words, from a mitzvah perspective, what's wrong with the mitzvah of yibum? In other words, here's a boy, here's a girl. She was married. Let's assume that the marriage that she had was min haTorah. Let's assume that was affected by her father. Okay, so in other words, there's a real mitzvah of yibum, and the boy over here, let's say, for a boy to perform the mitzvah of Yibum, so he has to be over 9 years of age. In other words, for his bia to be a bia. So there is this, there's an opportunity for the mitzvah of Yibum. So why are we pushing it off? Why are we waiting until both of them grow up? So Amalahem, Katan Shema Yimtsasris, Katana Shema Timatsi Islandis. So the answer is, well, you don't know. In other words, you don't know what's going to happen. Perhaps as they get older, he'll either be sterile or she'll be infertile. And Yibum is only a mitzvah if there's a possibility to have a child. But if he grows up sterile and she grows up infertile, or either one of those take place, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, move on to the next step, which is Pogea Be'erva. So now, if there's no mitzvah, then now there's an Isser. Yibum overrides the Isser of Eishes Achiv, the wife of your brother. But if there's no mitzvah, we're back to the Isser of Eishes Achiv. So the Gemara says, And the Chachamim say to Rabbi Meir, no. Meaning, this is only probabilities, and since it's only probabilities, we're gonna base ourselves on the Rov. So you see that the Chachamim argue with Rav Meir, not only the case of Ruba de Issa Kaman, but even the case of Ruba de Lesa, come on, good. So now that we've established that throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, there's no distinction between the two. So now let's understand Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says in our Mishnah that that within its first year it's Vada LeKohen, but after that it's a Suffolk. The Gemara says, but don't we have a Rove? And Rove animals give birth after the first year. So why don't we base it on the Rove? Ama Rava, Machvar to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir Svirle, Dechai Shlemiyuta. So Rava says, here's your conclusion. It's very simple. Line up Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Meir. Right? Okay, that's number one. So that's the first approach, meaning Rabbi Meir's Choshe Shlemiyuta. So we're going to be Choshe Shlemiyuta over here. You're right. Most animals do, in fact, give birth after the first year. Most goats give birth after the first year. It really shouldn't be a suffix. Rove should determine. But we're going to call it a suffix because Rabbi Shmuel is in agreement with Rabbi Meir. Approach number one. We're now on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. We're second line down. Ravina Amar. Afilu Tem Rabban Ki Azal Rabban Abbas Aruba Beruba De Lo Talib Emaisa. Aba Ruba De Talib Emaisa Lo. The Gemara suggests over here now, nope, maybe let's go a different path, a different avenue. Maybe Rabbi, you don't have to line up Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Meir, which in general we would prefer to do, because Rabbi Meir is really, Shitas Yachid is really a minority position, an individual position, and if we could somehow have Rabbi Shmuel go with the Chachamim, that'd be better. But the Chachamim hold of Rov the Issa come on, Rov the Lesa come on. So the Gemara says we're going to add another wrinkle in this discussion, which is the following. This isn't just a Rov, it's a Rov that is dependent on a Maisa. Meaning, what are we arguing over here? That, you know, most animals give birth. After the year, most animals give birth. Okay, that's what we're arguing. Yeah, but in order for that to happen, you also need the animal to mate. You also need the animal to conceive. In other words, things have to happen in order for this rove to surface. The rove doesn't surface by itself. You need a confluence of events in order for the rove to happen. And so now what the Gemara is suggesting is that on such a rove, Rabbi Shmuel says that's not really a rove. Rove is something that'll happen mimela, by itself, on its own. Like the case of the Sanhedrin. Like the case of the Katan V'Katana. Those are just things that are. Meaning most girls, when they grow up, will be able to conceive. That just is. You don't need anything to happen other than her growing up. But that just is. But if you need outside events in order to affect this rove, so Rabbi Shmuel says, that's not an exciting rove. Okay. Good. Perfect. All right, takes us now to a Braisa. The Braisa is going to ring very familiar because pretty much every point in the Braisa is going to be an echoing sentiment of what we learned in the Mishnah, a more expansive discussion. Tanu Rabbanan Ezbash Nasaf Adal HaKohen, Mikana Lahalan Safik. You buy a goat within the first year, so that means that it did not have a baby. That means that its firstborn is going to go to the Kohen. From that point forward, it's a Safik. Rachel Bat Shtayim, Vadel Kohen Mikan Al Halan Safik. Paraba Shalosh Vadel Kohen Mikan Al Halan Safik. Chamora Ki Para. Took me a while to figure that out. I was going kapara, I was going chamora kipara. And your donkey is like the cow. Okay? This is all Rabbi Shmuel. Okay? We didn't see that yet, but we'll see that in just a second. And you look back at the Mishnah, and it is identical, animal by animal, identical to what we saw back in the Mishnah, but this is a Braisa. So yes, it's going to review all the information for us. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Chamor, Bas, Arbashanim, Arbashanim. And minor machlokis, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says a donkey's 4 years, apparently does not give birth until after 4 years. Okay, Ad Kan Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's the end of Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Kishenemru Dvarim Lefnei Rabbi Yoshua. So now, the position of Rabbi Shmuel is repeated to Rabbi Yoshua. Here's his response. Amr Lahan, Tzu Amr Lola Rabbi Shmuel Ta'ita. I want you to go back to Rabbi Shmuel. I want you to tell me he made a mistake. Ilu Bevla Bevad HaBehema Nifteres Chaya Nifteres Haya Kidvarecha. I totally would agree with you if what you need to exempt the next animal is a viable full-term fetus. So then I'd be fine with that. Kidvarecha. But Siman Avla BeBehema Dakatino Vagasa Shalya V'Isha Shpir V'Shalya. But I'm telling you that in order for the animal to have given birth, quote-unquote, to have its firstborn, you don't need a full-term fetus. All you need for a small animal is behema daka, all you need is some sort of discharge. For a larger animal, you need to see afterbirth. For a woman, you need to see some form of fetus and afterbirth. The ani, okay, period. In other words, that's now, that is Rabbi Yoshua's response to Rabbi Yishmael. And it lines up with what we saw back in the Mishnah as well. Now here it's going to get a little bit different. Okay? The Braisa now will deviate just a little bit from what we saw in the Mishnah. The ani, ain ani omer kain. But I don't agree with that, says Rabbi Yoshua. Meaning that's the tradition that I have, tinuf and shalya and shpir v'shalya. That's a tradition, but I don't agree with that. Ela e shetinfa bashisha yoleda besoch shnasa. If you see a goat who had a discharge in her 6 month, she's going to be able to give birth within her first year. If you see a sheep that discharged within her first year, she yoleda besoch shnaim, she'll have a child within her second year. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to see later on in the Gemara what Rabbi Yoshua is disagreeing with, meaning he has some sort of tradition, what we'll call now svara, that's the Gemara's terminology, that tinuf and shpir and shpir v'shalya, and then he's disagreeing with this svara. Let me refresh that. He has what he calls a Gemara, a tradition, and he disagrees with that tradition. Okay. Ama Rabbi Akiva, ani lo bati liadai midazu, and then finally, at the end of the Braisa, we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says exactly what he said back in the Mishnah. Look, if you know gave birth, then this is not a Bechor, and the owner gets to keep it. If you know it did not give birth, so then the firstborn is a firstborn Bechor, and it goes to the Kohen. Anything in the middle, Safek. So Hamotz Mechaver Olavaraya, he's not coming and taking it out of your hands. At the same time, you have to treat it with Kedusha, and therefore Habalim Yochal Bemumo. The owner eats it only once it develops a blemish. Period. Ad Kan Divrei HaBraisa. Okay, good. All right, almost the Braisa is almost the same as what we learned back in the Mishnah, but there are subtle differences. First of all, the Gemara picks apart B'maikim Efligi Rabbi Shmuel V'Rabbi Yoshua. So what's the debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua? So the Gemara says, seems to be pretty straightforward. Lema betinof poter kemiflegi. Rabbi Shmuel saver tinof ena poter. And Rabbi Yoshua saver tinof poter. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Seems to be pretty much the machlokas. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shmuel, what is going to exempt only a full-term fetus and a viable fetus? Tinof, a small discharge that the baby has, which we're going to now interpret as some sort of aborted, right, aborted animal. So Rabbi Shmuel will say that's nothing. Now, when I say that's nothing, I'm not 100% sure what I'm saying, meaning it was an aborted fetus.
It doesn't
it was aborted fetus, but doesn't count as a baby. Okay, I'm not 100% sure what Rabbi Shmuel will interpret that tinuf, that discharge, but it's not enough. And along comes Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, tinuf is enough. Tinuf is enough to discharge the next baby. So the Gemara, so that's explanation number one. It works. The Gemara says maybe not. So the Gemara makes another suggestion, which is, look, if we actually saw the discharge, everyone would say that discharge was a fetus. It was an aborted fetus, and now the next one that comes out is not going to be chayv in the mitzvah of bechor. It doesn't have kedushas bechor. Hacha bechoshishin letinuf kamiflagi. The Gemara now suggests, you know what the machlokas is? Is this something we should concern ourselves with? Meaning, in the first year, you're right, the animal during that first year is not going to have a full-term baby. Okay, for reasons which, if you know the herding patterns of goats, you would understand. I don't know the herding pattern of goats, therefore I don't understand. But if you're with the program, you would know that it's not going to happen. But you know what? Tinuf may happen. The animal may discharge. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is, this is the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua. Are we concerned about tinuf? Rabbi Shmuel savar ein choshen latinuf. Rabbi Yoshua savar choshen latinuf. That is the suggestion now of the Gemara. Rabbi Yoshua is the worrier. Maybe the animal was metanif. Maybe it did have this discharge during the first year. We don't know, but maybe it did. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Did you not, about 15 lines ago, top of the Amud, didn't you say that Rabbi Shmuel lines up with Rabbi Meir? Now, we had not everyone agreed with that, but Rava said it. Rava said that Rabbi Shmuel lines up with Rabbi Meir. So didn't you line up with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Meir that you're choshish lemiut? So now, same thing over here. Meaning, there is a possibility, albeit minute, there is a possibility that this animal was metanef, it discharged during the first year.
Maybe it's not mute. Maybe it's just, did they or didn't they? We don't know. Not
that is a mute, really.
Okay.
I'm thinking about
the Gemara is assuming it's a possibility, and the Gemara is assuming it could happen. Well, watch. I'll tell you. You may be touching on the Gemara's next point, which is the following. The Gemara says, "Yeah, we did line up Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Meir," but the Gemara says, "Ki chayish lechumra, lekula lo chayish." Gemara says you got to pick your spots when you're worried about a miut, and you got to pick them carefully. Meaning, if it's going to result in a chumra, so then you got to entertain all possibilities, even the minority. But if it's going to lead to a kula, then I don't know. Meaning over here, what are we arguing? Look, most animals, most goats, right? Let's talk about our goats. Most goats in their first year do not have a baby. Okay? And there are some that have some sort of aborted discharge in that first year. But it's rare. And you just purchased this goat and you have no idea. Okay. If you're going to argue the minority, if you're going to take into account the minority, what are you essentially saying? You're essentially saying now, the next time this animal gives birth, it's not a bechor. So you're worrying about a slender chance that the animal was metanef, only so that the next animal is not a bechor. Yeah. So you're worried about a miut to yield a kula. Right. Now, that's not Rabbi Meir. That's not Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's worried about a miut that would result in a chumra, but not in a kula, like the case of Katan v'Katana. Mm. Case of Katan v'Katana, Rabbi Meir says, because some boys grow up sterile, and because some girls grow up infertile, so you know what, let's not get into the mitzvah of Yibum, because you never know. And therefore, there may not be a mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore, he may be pogea be'erva. There, Rav Meir is choshesh lemiut, that results in a chumra. But here to argue about that slim possibility the animal's metanif, only so that the next baby that comes out is not a bechor, Rav Meir won't do that. Okay. Iba is aim a ben lakula ben lachomer chayish. No, we know. This Mishnah is not Reb Meir. Reb Meir is cloaked and concealed in this Mishnah. Meaning what Rav is telling us is that Rabbi Shmuel is really subscribing to Reb Meir. Okay, fine. But only to result in a chumrah. Only to tell me that when you buy an animal from a non-Jew, will be machmir, because it's true, most animals give birth, but some don't, and we have to be worried about the some that don't.
Every time you look at something as a chumrah, could very easily look at it as a kula also, if you look at it the other way.
There's always an inversion factor. Right, correct. I do understand. Okay, so again, machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshua, either one, right? Two, they're going to end up being three explanations. Number one, is Tinuf anything? I mean, do we just simply regard Tinuf? So that's the first way to understand it. Rabbi Shmuel says no, and Rabbi Akiva says no. Yeah, we do regard Tinuf. Suggestion number two, everyone agrees that we regard Tinuf. It's just a question of, do we consider that Tinuf took place during that first year? And that is second possibility. Third possibility, here's the third possibility. Can an animal, in its first year of life, okay, talk about a long history, be metanef, which means that the animal mated, had some first, some type of discharge, which meant that it went through some sort of pregnancy, right? Aborted it via this discharge, and then give birth all within 1 year.
How common is that possibility?
Right. The Rabbi Shmuel suffered. Rabbi Shmuel says none of that's going to happen within its first year. The Hamida Olid Vaday Lo Tanif. And the fact now that it's giving birth tells me that discharge could not have happened. Had there been a discharge, there wouldn't have been a baby in year one. And Rabbi Yeshua suffered mitanefes chozer sviolas besoch shnasa. And Rabbi Yeshua will tell you, no, all that can happen within its first year. And so, therefore, if it gave birth within its first year, so Rabbi Shmuel is telling you, but it's still possible that it was mitanef even prior to its first baby, even though it had its first baby in its first year. Rabbi Shmuel is just saying it's just possible.
No, Rabbi Shmuel is saying is that.
No, Rabbi Shmuel says it's impossible.
If he's going to quote by his whole concept, he can't even say it's possible. He has to say it's absolutely impossible.
Right, correct.
Then the same thing.
Good. Okay. Good. We so far now have gone over. Yeah, it does seem to be Matthias. I know, and we normally don't. We're not so into that. Okay, machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shmuel about when you purchased a small animal within its first year, and you do not know, did it give birth or not? What do you assume? Rabbi Shmuel says in this first year, you assume nothing after the first year, all bets are off. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, you have to worry, even within its first year. Three ways the Gemara suggested how to understand this machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shmuel. Then Rabbi Yoshua says, oh, but you know what? I don't even agree with the opinion that I just offered. Meaning it's one thing to argue with somebody else, and then he's arguing with himself. Now that I say that tongue in cheek, meaning he's not arguing on himself. He has a tradition, what the Gemara is going to refer to as Gemara. Gemara means tradition. He has a tradition that this is the halacha, and then he says, but I have a svara. But I don't agree with this tradition. I argue with this tradition. Right. If a goat was metanef at 6 months, it can give birth within its first year. Okay. My ika ben gemarei lisvarei. What difference is there between the tradition that he was espousing versus his own particular opinion? So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Now follow me I'm begging myself to follow me as well. Shetinfa b'sof shisha. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to be very specific about this particular case. The goat was metanes at the end of the 6 month. Okay. Shetimfa b'sof shisha. V'ika b'inayhu. Now the Gemara says like this. Now the end of the 6 months, how many months are left in the year?
Six.
I don't mean to confuse everybody.
How long does it take to
go? It was metanef at the end of the 6 month. So not a good question, but not a leap year.
6 months. No, but how long did it take for God to get up? I mean, how long did it carry?
Oh, I was gonna go over that point. That's important to know. 5 months. Goats go through a 5 month gestation. Yeah, but it's besov shisha at the end of 6 months. The ika beinayu de ziiri, and the difference between Gemar versus Svara, Rabbi Yoshua's traditioned opinion versus his own opinion, is the following comment made by Ziiri. Comment, position. Ziri ain't teen of pachos mishloshim yom. Now Ziri says that once a goat has this abortion, has this discharged abortion, she's not able to mate for 30 days. Okay, so ligamare isle de Ziri. So the tradition holds of Ziri, which means that in this very specific case where it actually discharged at the end of 6 months, so now you have to add on another 30 days where it's unable to mate, plus 5 months for gestation. Okay, so you're...
That's
exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Meaning, the Svara and the Gemara sound very similar. Yes.
No.
With pleasure. Okay, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yoshua says let's just deal with a goat. Let's keep it nice and simple. Yeah. A goat that discharges, that means that it had a baby. Period. And so that anything coming after that is not a bechor. Good. And then he says, but I don't agree with that. But what I say is that if a goat discharges at 6 months, it will be able to give birth within its first year. Period. That's so. In other words, even when he gives his own position, he's telling you that tinuf is going to poter. A discharge, no pun intended. A discharge will discharge, right?
It's going to be really close.
But basically, so essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, okay. So what's he saying? That's different. So the Gemara now says like this: the case in the difference between the Gemara and the Svara is so subtle, and it's limited to a really, really unique case. We know we have information. We know that it discharged at the end of 6 months. Ziri says it won't mate for another 30 days after that. It takes now another 5 months for it to have a full-term baby. Yeah, you're after 12 months. Lisvare leisle de Ziri. Now the Svara, meaning, and Rabbi Yehoshua says, I don't agree with Ziri. Meaning it's exactly what Ziri's point. So if she had a discharge at the end of 6 months, she can mate... She can mate right away.
So he doesn't hold by that 30 day rule.
He doesn't hold by that 30 day rule. And so therefore it's possible for a baby to come out.
Right.
So that's number one. Ibai Yisema, Dekoliyam Yisle to Ziri. Number two. Everyone agrees to Ziri. V'acha b'yoledes, lemekutayin kamefugi. Another point of contention, perhaps, says the Gemara, is we say that there's a 5 month gestation period for a goat to produce its baby. From conception until birth. So we have the same exact machlokas when it comes to humans as well. When we say 5 months, does it mean five full months? Or can it even be but five sure, partial months as
but
well?
But I think that humans, you could say that if the woman gives it after 7 months, a viable fetus.
Correct.
So it could, with the animals, could you say after 4 months?
Correct.
Viable?
So
it doesn't matter if it's viable.
No. But no. We're talking about a scenario where it gave birth within its first year, and now you want to know, was there anything that came before that? So now what the Gemara is saying is like this. It discharged at the end of 6 months. Right. We all agreed to Z'iri. It won't mate for another 30 days. And now, is it possible, we know the magic number is 5 months. Right. Is it five full months or five partial months? So the Gemara says, that's the machlokus between Gemara versus Svara. Le Gemara lo armini yola as mukut time. So the Gemara, the tradition that Rabbi Yeshua brings down is no. And according to the Svara, armini yola as mukut time. And the Svara says that it's Yoledes Lemekutayim. E bias Ema, Lo Aminan Yoledes. Or, finally, let's bring down the last suggestion, and that is that we do not say, it's five full months. V'hacha b'mitzas ayam kekulu kemiflagi. This is amazing. I mean, honestly, it's amazing because we normally have this concept come up a lot, mixas yom kikulo, but we have it as a halachic concept, meaning we have it as the end of Shiva, right? A person, Rachman al-San, a person sitting Shiva. So the seventh day, he doesn't have to sit the full seventh day, right? He can get up in the morning. We say mixas yom kikulo. And there are other applications of this principle of mixas yom kikulo, that part of the day is like the whole day. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that this principle of Mixas Yom Kekulo is really the basis of debate between the Gemara and the Svara, Rabbi Yeshua's tradition and Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion. L'svari amrinan Mixas Yom Kekulo. So the Svara of Rabbi Shmuel is Mixas Yom Kekulo. Now, how exactly does that work out over here? So Rashi himself is also struggles with the... take a look at the top Rashi. L'svari amrinan... the delo gamar behema miisha mixas yom achron shel chodesh chamishi leubra kekula v'yoledes bo bayom hilka chafilu island ziri v'nisabra bech merchesvan yoledes biyom achron shel ado dehavish naso. It's possible that it will give birth that last day because that last day can be viewed as both the end of the year and the end of a gestation period. And it before the year is up. It's still within the year. And the Gemara says, and the Gemara, lo armina, mixas yom kikulo. And the tradition that he brings down says, no, we don't hold mixas yom kikulo. So again, our magic number today is three. Three, in other words, we know there's some debate between Rabbi Yeshua's tradition and Rabbi Yeshua's own opinion. We know that Rabbi Yeshua is more strict on his own personal opinion. What's the case? So the Gemara makes the suggestion that the case is that you know that it discharged at the end of 6 months, and now either A, we are disagreeing about Ziri's principle, whether it needs a 30-day, she needs a 30-day break for mating. Ziri says she does, maybe Rabbi Yoshua disagrees with that. Number two, whether when we say a 5 month gestation, do we mean a full 5 month gestation, or can we skip a little bit on that? Can we slice off a little bit over the 5 months? That the Gemara says another suggestion, or the third suggestion is mixas yom kikulo, which is, I mean, rather amazing. But Gemara says it, so we have to widen our understanding of mixas yom kikulo.
I think that also applies in terms of whether animals deliver. You know, like you already discussed that the chickens only lay during the daytime, but humans any time could deliver any time. So if the animal could be there at night, then it could be closer to less than 6 months,
Like
last day
of the... Right. Amar Rabbi Kiva, ani lo bati l'dei midazu ela kol sheyaduah. Okay. Finally, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, look, here's my story. Suffolk. Meaning Rabbi Kiva couldn't lay it out any simpler for us. It's just an issue of Suffolk. Meaning if I know the animal gave birth, so then the next one belongs to me. If I know the animal did not give birth, so then it's going to go to the Kohen. And anything in the middle, it's going to be in the world of Suffolk, which means the Kohen's not taking it from me. But it also means that I'm going to have to treat it with Kedushas Bechor and have to wait till it develops a blemish. My Ika bin Rabbi Kiva la Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. Is Rabbi Kiva introducing a new idea in the Mishnah? Meaning, essentially, that's what Rabbi Yoshua was saying as well. Right? What's Rabbi Yoshua says, we have to take into consideration this idea of tinuf, that it discharged. So what did Rabbi Akiva just introduce over here? I'm a Rabbi Chanina, Misura, Chalav Potrika by Naihu. Now we're going to look at one other piece of circumstantial evidence. Strong circumstantial evidence. The goat's lactating.
When do they lactate? After birth? Or that's a question.
We just, in other words, right now, I'm just saying we see lactation.
Right.
So that's usually a good sign that... Rabbi Akiva Savar, Chalav Poter, Halachacha Rov Behemos in Chovas Ela Im Ken Yoldos. So Rabbi Akiva says, follow the majority. The majority tells you that if you see this goat or any animal lactating, it means she gave birth. Again, probability wise.
So that means you don't even have to be tight, or you don't have to wait for a moon.
Sounds that way. Rabbi Yoshua Savar, Ha'ika Miyuta de Chovas Alpha Pishen Yoldos. And Rabbi Yoshua says, okay, but there's a minority. And so you have to be choshesh l'miyuta. Umichais Rabbi Yeshua l'miyah v'hatanan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, he's worried about a miyut. Second Yavamos discussion, part B of Yavamos for today. We learned in the following Mishnah. Isha shahacha hiu v'ala l'medina sayam. Rashi brings down the scenario over here. A woman goes away together with her husband. Umeis bala b'lo banim. And he dies without any sons. V'im ein lo v'yesh lo chamosa b'mkoma shiyatsa misham. Now that's true, but he also had a mother-in-law.
Could have still given birth.
Yeah, and the mother-in-law is possible. It's possible that the mother-in-law gave birth. Now, if the mother-in-law gave birth, that would provide now a new brother. A new brother to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? So, do we worry about that?
No.
Ain a chosheshes. So, nothing to worry about over there. So, even though there was a mother-in-law, and even though the mother-in-law could have given birth, right, you know the joke at the Orthodox wedding, right? Right, so, okay. The Yatsa Malaya, however, if when they went away on their trip, the mother-in-law was pregnant. Okay, now there's what to worry about. Okay, Chosheshe. So now we're worried, meaning that if the last piece of information that we were left with is, right, her mother-in-law now possibly has a brother, and that possibility is contingent on the idea that she was pregnant as they were leaving. Okay, so now you got to worry. Good. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Einu Chosheshe, and Rabbi Yeshua says, even then, you don't need to worry. Why? It's very simple. V'amrina, my time at the Rav Yoshua, because look, let's piece information together. First of all, let's start off with, right, we're going to draw basically a Venn diagram. Okay, let's first start off with our biggest circle. Our biggest circle tells us that the majority of women who are pregnant, got Baruch Hashem, have a viable fetus, and it's going to grow up to be a healthy baby and a healthy adult. Although nowadays, I'm not so sure. But okay, but at least, you know, it's possible. And not possible, probable. Okay, fine. And the minority of women who are pregnant do have a miscarriage. Okay, we'll start there. So I'm throwing out numbers. You understand, I'm just throwing out numbers. Let's call that 90%. Good. V'chol ha'yoldos mechza zecharim u'mechza nekevos. But then, within that 90, then divide in half. 50-50. Right? Simple genetics is 50 chance male, 50 chance female. Good. So now, but that's 50-50 of 90. So now where are my numbers? There's only a 45% chance. I know my numbers aren't accurate, but it doesn't matter. You get the idea. There's only a 45% chance that what she's having is a son. 45% chance. So smoch miuta de mapilos de mechza de nekevos, vavlu zechari miuta. So her having a male is a miut. It's a miut. 45%. So ulemiut lo chayshinan, and we're not worried about miut. And that's all, Rabbi Yoshua. So you see that Rabbi Yoshua. Look, it's amazing. In other words, when we left his mother-in-law, her mother-in-law. When she left her mother-in-law, she was pregnant. And now that's the last piece of information they had. It's possible that she had a baby boy. It's possible now you have a mitzvah of Yibum. You understand what the issue is over here. If her mother-in-law had a baby boy, she's locked.
Right.
Meaning upon the death of her husband now, she can't marry somebody else. She has a Zika. She's chained to her brother-in-law, either Yibum or either Chalitza, until we know any more information. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, yeah, but do the math. Do the statistics. The chance of her having a baby boy is a minority. A strong minority, but still it's a minority. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua says there's nothing to worry about. You see, Rabbi Yehoshua is not choshesh lemiyuta. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to flip. Meaning that our Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Akiva debate about whether or not we look at nursing as lactation as a siman, so we're going to go the other way around. And the Gemara says, and it's a good flip. And we have a brisa that supports this flip as well. Chalapota divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. That lactation is going to exempt. That's Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua is not choshes lemiuta. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, chalav eno poter. Rabbi Kiva says that chalav is not going to be a poter. Now, we'll stop here, but tomorrow, right, I'd like to start off. I mean, it comes out, it's strange now. It comes out that according to Rabbi Kiva, he's choshes lemiuta. Right, and Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Meir. We usually put Rabbi Meir on the fringe, but now it comes out now that Rabbi Akiva is not choshesh lemiyuta. Okay, stay tuned tomorrow. We'll discuss it. You see that Tosfos that occupies most of the daf? No, I'm sorry, the Tosfos that occupies the entire daf. So we're gonna see if we can make sense of the Gemara's conclusion, where we are in fact concluding.